Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Now, I'm going to read to you several rather lengthy passages of Scripture, one each from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And, of course, there's going to be some overlapping of information in the passages that I want to read, but we must get the Scripture clearly in mind. First from Matthew chapter 21. And when they drew nigh to Jerusalem, there were come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives. Then said Jesus to disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt of the fold of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strode them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. The next passage that we turn to is found in the book of Mark, this time in chapter 11, and beginning with verse 1 of this 11th chapter. It reads, And when they were come to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and said unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat, and loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Ye shall say that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches of the trees, and strawed them before the way. And they that went before, and they that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David, that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And he entered Jericho into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about all things, he now at eventide was come, and he went out to Bethany with the 12. We turn next to Luke chapter 19 and have Luke's record of this event, beginning with verse 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon ye never man sat. Loose him and bring him thither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even nigh to the descent of the Mount of Olives, The whole multitude of the disciples began to praise and rejoice God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this city, in thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench round about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Well, I want to read one other, and I recognize there's a lot of duplication in some of this, but we need to have what the Scripture says before us. And on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they the things that were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. Now all four of these writers of the life of Christ record what is called the triumphal entry of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. And it was a triumph for Jesus and a triumph for his disciples. It is better understood, however, as a loving appeal to the people of that city to accept him for who he is, the Son of God, the coming King. It revealed the extent to which Jesus went to bless mankind. Jesus and his disciples had been touring Palestine. Luke 9 and verse 51 says, And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Mark 10:31, And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. As they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them those things which had happened unto him. Now Jesus had traveled this way many times, but under different circumstances. This was to be his last journey. The road to Jerusalem was not an easy one for the Lord to take. No man looked forward to the agony of death on the cross. And he had told his disciples, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered up to the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. Yes, this was a lonesome walk, even though his disciples were with him. It was in many ways a road that he had to travel alone, for none could make this journey for him. He compelled himself to go to Jerusalem. And what awaited him there? There would soon be the encounter regarding the fig tree, the second cleansing of the temple, the last observance of the Passover, his discussion with his disciples, his prayer in the garden, the betrayal by Judas, his humiliation before the mock trials and the hostile tribunals, and eventually the death on the cross that was all to follow. But after this, in 3 days, his resurrection. He was going toward the culmination of his work on earth, marching straight into the hands of his enemies. There was already a price on his head. The eyes of authorities marked his every move and condemned him as a criminal. He was arrested at the first convenient moment, The people, knowing these things, even wondered if he would come to the Passover at all. John chapter 11, verse 56 and 57. Jesus could not have chosen a time when Jerusalem had more crowds and more intense religious freedom than at this time. Jews in Palestine, even the world over, thronged to keep the Passover. Josephus, the Jewish historian of the first century, suggested possibly 3 million people were in the city. The Passover was one of the most sacred and the best observed of the Jewish celebrations. Jesus could not have chosen a time with greater opportunity to accentuate his message, but neither would there be a time when there would be more opposition. The crowded conditions, the religious intensity, they only emphasized the deliberate manner of his entry. It was a planned action rather than something done on impulse. He had told his disciples what he intended to do, and he had them to assist him by securing an ass upon which he could ride. Zechariah had prophesied this event nearly 500 years earlier, Zechariah 9 and verse 9. The deliberate way of his entry reveals it is an act of supreme courage, which is a mark of Christ, of course, and it should be the mark of all people who profess to follow him. Sometimes courage may be born of impulse, born under the pressure of a certain sudden emergency, when there is no time to really think about the matter or weigh the consequences. Action is sometimes almost an instinctive impulse. But such courage is surely admirable. But there is a higher courage, and that is the courage of one who has considered his actions. He sees clearly the dangers and the personal consequences. And in the courage of having counted the cost and finding it awesome, he deliberately pursues the right course of duty nonetheless. Now, this is the type of courage manifested by Jesus here. This courage makes us love him all the more, respect him all the more. He knew his duty. He knew the dangers. Yet he deliberately went to Jerusalem. What strong love motivated his journey. And why did he do it? You know, sometimes we learn things are done because it is explicitly stated. Other times we learn by the way some actions are used. Now, the reason for Jesus doing this are not explicitly stated, but notice how he used this event. Jesus used a method of action at Jerusalem which was often used by Old Testament prophets. It was a dramatic, symbolic action that presented the message. Now, men might fail to listen, but they were less likely to fail to see. Ahijah foretold to Jeroboam that 10 tribes would revolt against Rehoboam by taking a garment and rending it into 12 pieces, giving 10 to Jeroboam. This was impressive of the message that he delivered, that 10 tribes would be given under the rule of Jeroboam, and only 2 would remain with Rehoboam. Jeremiah walked about Jerusalem many years earlier, and he walked about with a yoke on his neck, forewarning Judah of the slavery that was to come if they did not repent. This dramatic and symbolic action was commonplace in the preaching of Ezekiel. Jerusalem's entry was a presentation of the Lord's message by a meaningful and unmistakable attention-getting deed. His purpose was to teach the message that might enter through both the eye and the ear and into the heart, even though the ear had so often been dull of hearing and the eye blinded by prejudice. And what was the message that he conveyed? Why, it was the same message he had been preaching over 3 years. He claimed to be the promised king, the successor to David's throne, the coming king of God's everlasting kingdom. Such a role had been announced even at his birth. He had acknowledged this before Pilate. The entry into Jerusalem symbolized and emphasized this message. Now, in the Eastern and Oriental world, the ass was a noble beast, the beast upon which kings rode when they came in peace. It was the horse that was ridden by warriors. When David proclaimed Solomon would be the king after he had Solomon placed upon his ass and taken through the streets, he was acclaimed to be the king. A king coming in peace. Jesus was appealing to the people of Jerusalem to make him a throne in their hearts and acknowledge him as God's Son, the promised King to come, the King of a spiritual kingdom, universal and everlasting. Here was one more dramatic appeal in the long line of loving appeals that Jesus had made that he might be accepted and be able to give salvation to others. He was saying, in essence, "Will you, O Jerusalem, accept me for the one that I say that I am?" Luke says the disciples cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And the Pharisees insisted Jesus stop his disciples from saying this. But Jesus answered, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." What was shouted was truth. Whether others accepted that truth or not, it did not alter the truth in any way. For the most part, the people rejected him, did they not? Causing him to later say in Matthew 23 and verse 37, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." What a pity for those people. What an opportunity they had. But their rejection was their loss, and neither did it prevent the kingdom from coming. It did exclude them if they remained of that frame of mind. It would exclude them from entering into the kingdom of God. This entry into Jerusalem was his assertion of divine royalty. His was an action of supreme courage. His was an altar of love and salvation. It was indeed remarkable. Was it all for naught? For those who reject him, it amounts to their condemnation. They doom themselves to an eternal hell. But for those who receive him as he is, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, it was a great manifestation of his love. And it provides additional evidence upon which we base our faith in him. Its very revelation is a demonstration of deity's concern for the spiritual welfare of mankind. And today we stand in awe and we marvel at the gracious, loving, noble action of Jesus that he took on the behalf of us all when he made his triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.